these prayers, the verses offered to Govinda. They're common in any auspicious event like this. Mantras are invoked to glorify the Supreme Lord, and by doing that, just the sound vibration invokes auspiciousness for the occasion. And these prayers by Lord Brahma are most elevated. They're his realization of the personality of Godhead in his mature stage of spiritual perfection, just spontaneously, one after the next, speaking the glories of the personality of Godhead. And the refrain, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami, indicates he's the source of everything. And the verses confirm, each of the verses are describing different features of the spiritual world or different devas and devis and their role in serving the Supreme Lord. So he's just as the invocation verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller, the cause of everything and the controller of everything. And therefore we worship him. And just by calling the names of the personality of Godhead, just calling his name, we become purified. That's this mantra that was chanted when Ajman was being performed. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pandarikaksham sabhaya abhyantara suchihi. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Just calling the names of the personality of Godhead is very powerful. Whether pavitra or apavitra, whether purified or unpurified, or etc., having passed through all circumstances of life, everything in between, just by remembering the personality of Godhead, by calling his name, Pundarikaksham, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, takes one beyond the contamination of material existence to the place of fearlessness at the shelter of the personality of Godhead. So therefore we call his name Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So this similarly is Harinam, initiation, an event in the soul's journey that's of the different samskaras, the most important according to our acharyas and also common sense. Samskaras are there for marking the transition point in the soul's journey from the point of conception within the womb of the mother, becoming conscious, taking birth. Each stage of moving from one position to another position to the next position to the next position, the soul's journey or brahmite in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan ji guru krishna prasadi vai bhakti lata beej. As the soul is wandering, the journey of the soul in the cycle of birth and death, samsara, there are different stages in that cycle of birth and death, but one of them is most important. That's this one, Because the connection it signifies, the formal connection with the disciplic succession. Leaving one position and entering into another position. This is samskara, and samskara ceremonies are performed to create an auspicious transition for the journey of the soul from one position to the next position. Mentioned this the other day. The topmost position of the social structure of Vedic culture is those who are in touch with Brahman, the absolute, and those who are so qualified are Brahmanas. And to become, in Vedic culture, to become a qualified Brahmana, one must receive these sangskaras. The path to reach Brahman, or reach the absolute, must be marked by purificatory procedures. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote an essay, simple, describing this particular sangskara. He titled it Pancha Sangskara. There are five elements that are essential that Prabhupada didn't give us the details of, but he included it he just made things very simple for us. But there's a scriptural basis for what we're doing. At the time of initiation, in that particular diksha, a name is given, the neck beads that mark the body as the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the tilak that marks the body as the temple of God, tapa is a fourth item. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Vaishnava tapa is regret, the time, not only in this lifetime, but who knows how many countless lifetimes, where the purpose of life, the purpose of the soul's existence, has been neglected. So regretting that misuse of time, letting go of the misuse of time and situating oneself in proper use of time and the valuable energy, especially of this human form of life. Tapa is a form of regret. Regret is a form of tapa, of disconnecting with the previous and moving on to the next stage. That is being situated simply in service to the Personality of Godhead. And the fifth item, commonly, this is with receiving of Gayatri Mantra in particular, but the initiate then receives a deity for worship, because prior to initiation, particularly Brahminical initiation, one is not entitled to worship the deity, but along with the worship of the deity and the chanting of the mantra that one receives, then side by side with the chanting of mantra, that which further purifies is the worship of the deity, form of the Lord. So this one is very easy, that here's the deity. They're welcoming you to prepare yourself to worship them directly. And to bring one to that stage where initiation is eligible, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not have the structure that Prabhupada created, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Rather, he was one by one or in different ways bringing people to the shelter of Krishna's devotional service. But he also spoke a very same point that applies within our International Society for Krishna Consciousness organization. That is, prior to initiation, there should be a period of training. Prabhupada established that systematically, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about that in this essay. Contrasting with training is the situation where there are initiations that are given without training. And he writes, it's meaningless. There's no fruit, because it requires purification to actually properly receive the benefit of diksha and receive the mantra and properly chant the mantra and receive the deity and properly worship the deity. Otherwise, it's fruitless. It resembles in form, but there's no substance there without proper training and submission and carrying forward in the process of taking vows of initiation and submitting oneself to the disciplic succession and continuing further in the process. This is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's remark. Initiation is a term that Prabhupada gave, a translation of the term diksha. This is Harinam diksha. The very choice of translation, initiation, indicates a beginning of something. When you initiate a journey or initiate a project or you begin something, this word initiation is appropriate. And it's in the journey of the soul, in the path of samsara, it's a beginning of ending the cycle of samsara by formal connection with the cyclic succession. The event is a recognition of submission and acceptance, both. It's a relationship. Submission to disciplic succession and acceptance by the disciplic succession in the line of Krishna and Krishna's family. In fact, the very idea of giving a name of that part of the sanskara, Prabhupada would say Krishna Das or Vishnu Das. I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of Vishnu. It has the purpose of each time the person's name is called or hears their name called, they're remembering Krishna. Or the opportunity to remember Krishna is provided just within that sound vibration. But it also signifies that Das, I'm the servant of Krishna, that's my position. In Vedic culture, the family in which one is born has some significance. The name that accompanies the individual carries the name of the family in which they're born. Western culture has that also. But with that name comes a certain, commonly, a social position, commonly some services that are learned from the family, particularly from the father, so that one can carry on the tradition of the family. Names are given according to the quality and work, commonly, and then line. But the name that's given at the time of initiation directly connects with the family of Krishna. Just a little explanation of that. It's common in we did this in our South India tour. Those of you, some devotees attended. We followed the path that Lord Chaitanya followed, going from when he left Jagannath Puri, heading to tour in South India. The first place he went to was Kurukshetra. And, you know, place after place after place he went. So we followed that line of Lord Chaitanya's travels. Not exactly, because there are some places that are very remote. But at each of the places, it's very common that the some sannyasi or some person like that is brought before the deity, and the pujari makes a little arti, or a little offering to the deity. And in that offering, the deity's name is mentioned, the person's name is mentioned, and the gotra of the person is mentioned. Gotra means the family in which the person was born. Commonly, that's what gotra means. So, each time the priest would ask in Telugu or Tamil, whatever their language was, because most of them don't speak English, the other person said, "This is my name, Romapada Swami, and his gotra is Achyuta Gotra." For those of you from India, you know what that means, and you don't know what that means. If you're born in a certain family, let's say Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were born in a Saraswat Brahmin family. You've heard that from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they would say, "What is your gotra?" Saraswat, or Saraswati, Saraswati Brahmana. So that's their gotra. So what's the gotra of somebody that's born in America? Give it some name. Gobbledygook or something. But when one receives initiation, that signifies now a second birth, or being accepted in the family of Krishna. So the gotra then becomes Achyuta Gotra, the family of the infallible Lord Krishna, Achyuta Gotra. And I didn't see one of the priests in the whole time that we traveled in South India blink or shrug his shoulders or anything, just Achyuta Gotra. They seem to understand either that or they've had association with this kind of devotees before. But that's the significance. It's initiation is a submission, but it's also an acceptance. One then becomes part of Krishna's family. And when you're part of a family, then you have responsibilities unto the family. You can't just behave gobbledygook anymore. It's now Achyuta Gotra. There's a responsibility to conduct one's life internally and externally according to that which is respectable for the family. You represent the family properly. You represent the head of the family properly and the whole family. In other words, how we conduct ourselves has direct bearing on the good name of the family. How it works in world society and in the cultured society of Vaishnavas. Great responsibility to bear in speaking and acting and living one's life in accordance with the teachings. So there are vows that will be taken, and the vows are the foundational part. Upon the foundational part, which is meant to purify our existence, then there's the rest of our existence, how we act, how we speak, how we conduct our lives. So, making the point, we have a great responsibility to fulfill. Do you need to sit in the chair? Fine. I would probably end up in a chair if I tried to sit one of those things too. Okay. So from Krishna's side, And the disciplic succession side, there's acceptance and there's very clear-cut instruction how to conduct one's life. From the disciple side, there's submission. And it's that means from the heart. And then practically speaking, in the form of behavior and speech. But the behavior and speech will be consistent as long as there is submission from the heart. So it's heart-to-heart acceptance, heart-to-heart submission, instructions according to details of life, and carrying them out. That's the service part, is carrying out the instructions that are given. And the essence part is the submission and the acceptance, the relationship, the connection formally established by initiation. With the vows, the principal vows that Prabhupada gave us, and we continue to follow in his society of devotees, they're vows that purify the heart, and they're vows that keep our life in the quality of goodness. The four regular principles are foundational principles of purity, of conduct. And the chanting of the holy name it cleanses the heart. That gives life to our life. The purified condition of heart. To maintain, because the vow says, for the rest of my life, I'll maintain these vows. It's necessary. It's imperative that one strives to become free from the offenses against the chanting of the holy name. So, consider carefully what the offenses against the holy name are, and very carefully observe avoiding or not taking part in sadhu-ninda or vilification or blasphemy of devotees of the Lord, minimizing the authority of the scriptures, neglecting the order of the spiritual master, considering the names of Vishnu and that of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or other personalities. This is an easy one for Western cultured people. Don't have a problem with that one at all. But consider other personalities to be equal to or independent of Krishna. Considering the chanting of the holy name, the glories to be exaggeration or imagination. Giving some interpretation of the holy name. Committing sinful activities. The elephant offense. Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Like that. The offenses should be very carefully avoided. And most central of all of them, that which can help one become free from offenses most effectively, is being fully attentive. So it's an offense to be inattentive. So try to be fully attentive. And it's a conscious effort each day when chanting. Carefully keep the mind on the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. Striving like that, because the mind wants to go somewhere else. It's not new or unusual to any of us. But continuing to bring the mind to Krishna. Making that sincere effort is essential. So, are you going to be able to pay obeisances before Prabhupada? You can handle that part. Okay, go ahead. Come here. Obeisances again, if you would. Is your son here also?
Okay. There we go.
Come right up here. You have to use whatever works. Okay, now the vows part.
Okay.
How many rounds you'll chant every day on your beads?
Minimum 16.
Good. The rules that you'll follow?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, intoxication, no gambling.
Very good. And you'll strive to follow the teachings of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Initiated name is Jayaram Das. Doesn't need much explanation. Looking at this nice painting, because whenever you come in the temple, besides the deities of Sita Ram, Lakshman and Hanuman, Ram's breaking the bow in the assembly of King Janak, getting the hand of Sita. So, victory to Lord Ramachandra. So we're ready when you're ready. You can just begin the yagya whenever you're ready.